Oh, and let's give your website again. And this is WGDR Plainfield. Your guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Alex Schwartzman, who is the head of the University of Connecticut's
Voting Technology Research Center.
Okay.
And our website is voter.engr.ucon.edu.
Okay. All right. So that takes us through what you did to determine whether or not the optical scanner in Connecticut, which is the same one used in Massachusetts.
Yes, I believe so. All New England states except for Rhode Island use the same physical machine.
Okay.
And I would advise to any states to conduct audits, both random audits of ballots, hand-counting ballots in selected districts, and also audits of hardware, which in case of the optical scan machine would include audits of the memory cards.
Mm-hmm.
Without such audits, we really do not know. I mean, if there is no evidence to examine, then what do you know what's in the memory? How do you know what's in the memory cards?
Well, so when you say it should be audited, who's supposed to do the audit? I mean, it seems to me like the Division of Weights and Measures, which is doing audits anyway and has the technology to do it, ought to be the people to do it.
So it's certainly the audits and the maintenance of the machines and calibration of the machines should be done under the auspices of the state, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what agency would be doing that, this is a little bit beyond my realm of involvement, but at least it has to be directed from the state. I know that in Connecticut we had some proposals that are considered by the legislature where two separate entities would be responsible for, one, programming the cards, and two, hardware testing of the memory cards and the machines. And at least one of these agencies must reside in the state of Connecticut, and they have to be independent. So I think that's a reasonable path to take.
Mm-hmm.
Ways and means, of course. I mean, people who calibrate gasoline pumps should also be empowered to check out and calibrate the voting machines. Exactly what expertise is required and how feasible it is, that's a different issue that I'm not sure how to address at this point.
Mm-hmm. But you, for example, have the expertise to do it.
Yes, we do, and this is what we do for the state. Again, as I mentioned, Connecticut is a rather relatively compact state, so it is feasible for us to do that. But for a larger state, of course, Vermont is also in New England, so it should be feasible. But I imagine for a large state, this is a fairly daunting process that will take tremendous effort to carry out.
So how daunting is it to do random audits?
I think that we have performed just recently a 10% audit in the state of Connecticut. We have a legislatively mandated 10% audit, random audit.
Well, that's huge compared to Vermont.
Yeah, we
Vermont doesn't even register.
And the state was very receptive to, and the state understood the need for that. But the methodology we follow here is that the results are returned to the state. The state conveys the results to us as well as makes the results public. We do a statistical study,
mm-hmm.
and then for errors which are considered to be worthy of note, there is a follow-up activity by the Secretary of the State's office, in some cases involving complete recounting of the ballots to understand why there are discrepancies. The methodology for audits and for recounts is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Recounts are really trying to get into the mind of the voter and read the voter's intent.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas auditing of the machine results has to be focused on whether or not the machine perceived correctly what the voter marked.
Mm-hmm.
And there is always going to be a discrepancy. I mean, it is not feasible to design mechanical or electronic devices that will read the mind of the voter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the end, we have to rely on what the voter marked on the piece of paper. And
yeah.
So there is always going to be some discrepancy due to that. But I will comment that transparency in the machine-assisted and electronic voting is really, really important. And we here in Connecticut were quite frankly surprised at the level of openness that our Secretary of the State's office has with respect to having us access equipment, talk to officials, open up the equipment, completely take it apart, put it together. I know that, and also be involved in election of in the post and pre-election audits of hardware and hand-counted audits. The process has to be open, and so it seems strange to me that, as you mentioned, in some states it is essentially illegal to double-check the results.
Well, one of the hypocrisies that, at least in my opinion, is a tremendous hypocrisy here in Vermont, is that when asked, the state is very proud of what it calls its transparency. But I have a letter in my documents from the state on a particular subject of auditing or counting the 22-month-old ballots. You're not allowed to. They have to be destroyed. Now, what brain process is at work if they won't let you take the discarded 22-month-old ballots and count them? I mean, that just strikes me as an admission of fear that you're going to get caught having done something wrong.
There is this, even if it is not justified, but I do see that there is this reluctance by politicians to make the process more transparent. And where I see it, I think the opposite should be the easiest approach to take. I think that it is much easier to say, yes, we acknowledge that the process is not perfect, and yes, we're doing everything possible to make sure it is more reliable, that it is better than last year, and so on, instead of burying one's head in the sand and hoping that the troubles will go away. By the way, I want to mention that we have four faculty members in our research center and six graduate students, and the kids have just been outstanding with their enthusiasm, putting in long hours, beyond the call of duty, examining hardware, counting, performing statistical analysis. Without the student help, it would have been nowhere.
Oh, and let's give your website again. And this is WGDR Plainfield. Your guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Alex Schwartzman, who is the head of the University of Connecticut's
Voting Technology Research Center.
Okay.
And our website is voter.engr.ucon.edu.
Okay. And UConn is UConn?
UConn, University of Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah. We have several reports there that I'm sure will be of interest to your audience, including the results of the pre- and post-election audits in Connecticut in recent elections. Not everything that we produce we publish, but there is enough on our website to for somebody to get a good overview of the technology as it exists, as it is relevant to New England.
Okay, so voter.engr, as in engineer, .ucon.edu.
Yes.
Yeah, I did go to it the other day after you sent me that email and looked through it quickly. Now, in the technology department, we spoke, for those of you who are just joining us, we spoke clearly about the way Dr. Schwartzman and his team were able to physically hook up to a Premier, formerly Diebold, AccuVote scanner, and that, in his opinion, that is the most vulnerable way for a scanner to be tampered with, is for somebody to leave it unattended and then for the appropriate bad guy to show up and change the card. And were there any other so LHS Can you tell us a little bit about the people who program the cards? When I interviewed Ion Sancho from Florida, his office does the programming. Whereas in Vermont, there's apparently, somebody let me know, but apparently there's nobody in Vermont even capable of programming a memory card at that level for this purpose. And it seems to me that Ion Sancho has a good point, that it ought to be done in the state by the officials who work for the state rather than a private company out of state. I forget what my question to you now was, having to do with LHS programming it, and emails that I've received over the last year have identified somebody I've spoken to there a few times as having a criminal record. Have you run into any of that kind of controversy?
So, yes, we work with, the state of Connecticut works with LHS Associates. We have visited the facility in Methuen, Massachusetts, and we're working with them to continuously try to improve traceability of the work that they do, to make sure that the cards are properly labeled, properly tested, that each card is uniquely identified, that each card has a history of where did it travel, what happened to it, so that we could examine it and follow up in case there are there are reports of issues.
Mm-hmm.
The company, I believe, needs to improve the diligence with which they deal with the memory card and the programming for several states in New England. He confirmed that LHS tends to be fairly open in terms of access to their processes and in responding to the increased needs to be more diligent and provide more documentation. But, of course, what does it mean without any specific requests and any specific actions? I agree with you, that is less than defined. I also want to point out that LHS personnel very often supervises the use of the machines during the election.
Mm-hmm.
And in the state of Connecticut, we, Secretary of the State requires that other than, for example, clearing ballot jams in the machine,
mm-hmm.
that LHS personnel is not to touch the machines, not to alter the machines, not to remove any parts, not to insert any other parts. And I do not believe the same is true in other states.
No, in Ohio there were, people indicted for that.
Absolutely. That's an issue that I believe needs to be addressed in other states as well, and starting with New England,
mm-hmm.
our home here, that LHS personnel is very much interested in making sure that elections go smoothly. And let us say this is a good motivation. Nevertheless, touching the election process in progress, I think, should be avoided at all costs. And in Connecticut, if something is wrong with the machine, we do not permit anybody to repair the machine. We take the machine out of the election for subsequent examination if necessary, and we press the second machine into service.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this level of care needs to be instituted everywhere. Of course, in Connecticut, we have two machines per district, and we use only one, and one is a spare. So I'm not sure about feasibility of this in other states.
Mm-hmm. And you still have some areas that hand count entirely.
In Connecticut, I do not think so.
Okay.
I know in Vermont there are, right?
Yeah, many. Mm-hmm. I mean, the total number of votes counted by scanner is much higher than the total number of votes counted by hand, but the number of towns is probably greater. I'm sure it's greater. I used to know exactly, but I forget off the top of my head.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a surprise, because that's where the machines are deployed.
Sure, yeah. I spoke to one rep, who said, why would anyone want to commit election fraud? And I didn't have an answer for that because the answer was so obvious.
Oh, yes, that's, yes.
I didn't want to insult the nice lady, but gee whiz, I think there's a certain amount of naivete that up here that where they won't cross a line.
Well, and in many cases, There is a saying, do not attribute to malice what can be explained by lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, one needs to be diligent. So regardless of the motivations, we know that technology does leave certain areas of vulnerability, and we have to be diligent and careful in deploying technology and in making sure that integrity of elections is maintained and that the consistency of returns can be verified. So mm-hmm. these steps are essential.
Now, as a statistician, and this is one of the things that where my jaw drops about the Democratic Party, but as a statistician, you must have been impressed that in 2000 and 2004, almost 100% of the anomalies, whether be it scanner or DRE, were in favor of the Republican Party.
Well, first of all, I regrettably am not a statistician, although I do work with statisticians.
But, I mean, you understand the probabilities.
Well, this is... there is a much closer example in the very recent primaries in New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
where it was statistically reported that in the districts using hand counting, Obama carried the day,
mm-hmm.
But in the districts using tabulators, it was Hillary mm-hmm. who carried the day.
Yep.
And try to explain that one.
Well, my comment had to do with one of my jobs as a journalist is to look at the big picture. And
absolutely. The work of people like you very much complements the work of politicians, Secretary of State, pure technicians of myself and other activists. I mean, this is, a wonderful synergy between different groups and organizations who all do care about elections.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. Do you have anything? You've been very kind to stay with us this long. Do you? Can you wrap up a little bit? Because people, you know, come in and out of radio programs as they drive in their cars. Ladies and gentlemen, your guest is Dr. Alex Schwartzman from the University of Connecticut. And could you state again just quickly the mission and the...
Yes, I direct the Voting Technology Research Center at the University of Connecticut. We have been working with the state of Connecticut in examining, taking apart, breaking, and infiltrating machines to make sure that our processes are as reliable and dependable as we can. our reports are on the web, voter.engr.ucon.edu. In closing, I'd like to say that Vermont is a beautiful state, and my wife wants us to move there, and I think she will succeed in a few years. So
mm-hmm.
perhaps I will be your neighbor one of these days.
Yeah, and you can look into you've already looked into those machines. They're the same machines.
They're the same machines, right. The machines we examined for Connecticut are exactly the same machines that are used mm-hmm. in Vermont.
And they are called exactly, the title is Premier, formerly Diebold, AccuVote.
Optical scan.
Okay, and do they have a new number?
Well, the only difference is what version number of the firmware. The current version in Connecticut is 1.96.6, and we will be upgrading, Connecticut will be upgrading to the second version after that, I believe, because the next version is not sufficiently improved to warrant upgrading.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm not sure exactly what version is in the use of Vermont, but there may be a minor version, one difference.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Dr. Schwartzman, and we'll stay in touch if any breaking news occurs.
Yes, absolutely. And mm-hmm. Jim, thank you very much for inviting me on your program. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you. Radio. Bye-bye.